going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or dsw.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Hopefully you're enjoying our program today. Lots of draft content. Remember, G-Bag Nation's going to be rocking out at Pluckers, but you know what? I'm having so much fun. Maybe we'll cut into their time a little bit. We'll see how it goes. Right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Yeah, for that one guy that doesn't like our show but loves G-Bag. We're a station, baby.
That's hurtful. I also like G-Bag.
Yeah, we're going to cut in and take some of their hours today, so enjoy that. I don't know. We might.
Or maybe their show will start early on our show.
Yeah, who knows exactly how things are going to go here. That being said, for anybody that texted in minutes ago, there are two completely different texts here. One said, being the king of Austin, and I wouldn't be in a hurry to leave that town. And then Austin stinks. And they listed all these different reasons. Kevin, the city of Austin is two different cities.
Totally.
There is a contingent in Austin that is very conservative. And there's an extremely liberal contingent in Austin as well.
One of the most, I know everyone thinks it's nothing but liberals. One of the most conservative friends I have went to and graduated from Texas, which still kind of trips me out a little bit.
Yeah, no, and I mean, think about it. The state's capital is there.
Sure.
So I don't think that the people that work around that area are just, you know, running around protesting everything all the time. It's two different places, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, look.
And, the Lake Travis, and there's just some really pretty area down there, too.
When I went to take Brandon down there for a visit of the campus, like, he found this record store that he fell in love with. We got to go to the very original Alamo Draft House, which was really cool. And so, yeah, if you don't like it, that's okay, too.
I like this text that came in from the 561. The Stars have held the lead for 65 seconds out of 3 playoff games so far, and they're up 2-1. And
they don't have two of their best 5 players.
You're right. They don't have two of their best 5 players. They stole one back on the road. They didn't play anywhere near their best game. They honestly haven't played anywhere near their best game yet.
Did you think let me ask you this.
They played good periods?
Agreed. Do you think the third period of game 2 and overtime of game 2 was the closest you've seen to,
okay. If they can play like that for 3 periods, it's going to be 7-1 every night.
That'd be great.
I'd be perfectly okay with that. Last night's game, and I said boring because it took a long time for the Stars to excite me in the game. That being said, I was sitting there waiting. Just waiting. I knew the Stars were, because of the effort they kept giving last night, I knew at some point it was going to happen. Like, I just had faith that at some point it's going to turn for them, because it's not like they're out there and they just look lax. They were out there still working and plotting. I use the word plotting because it looked like they were just trying to figure out the right thing. And once they did, now, honestly, it was an extremely interesting defensive game on both sides. Because, you know, Colorado didn't do offensively what they wanted to do last night.
Right.
They weren't successful accomplishing that. They got fortunate that 4-on-4 turned into what it was.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm really glad that you said that, because it's not that Nathan MacKinnon hasn't been getting his looks and hasn't been getting his shots, but they've been going after him physically in a way that I think you want, because McKinnon, look, all great players can be worn down by physicality in hockey. And so I like that they've been physical, especially on McKinnon. Now, they were in another hit deficit last night, 46-34. But that is a vast jump from game one, where I think they had 18. Now, did they slide back from game two? Yes, because as you pointed out, they have not played their best hockey yet. That is why I continue to be encouraged. They have been trailing. I can give you a lot more reasons they should be losing this series. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you this. I think Colorado's goalie is playing above his head, and you don't have two of your best five players, and you're ahead 2-1.
It almost seems like you're sandbagging teams until the end of a game and then stealing it from them at the last second.
Yeah.
Kevin, what just happened?
I coughed and didn't push the cough button and then pushed it afterwards as if that was going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry about that.
Look, man. Well, I'll give you a phone call after the show. Oh, no. Just to let you know.
Ooh.
Tonight, sometime after the Cowboys have made their pick, Jacob DeGrom will step on the bump. And Jacob DeGrom, in this stadium, I'm very interested to see how this goes. Because he looked like he was back and locked in.
It's not been the most pitcher-friendly park.
Not at all. And it is. There's a couple of different things about that park. There's one. I think there's one part of the wall that's like 4 feet high. It's a ridiculous park, dude. It really is. And the way Boach explained it last night.
Outfield is just falling over the wall. Yeah,
it's just the way Boach was explaining it yesterday. It just sounded like they have fans at the top of the stadium. And if you hit it up, it's blowing them out. It's just going.
Yeah.
But DeGrom back on the bump tonight. He's 0-1 with a 3.32 ERA. Did you feel like in the last start you're getting the version of DeGrom you thought you were going to get?
I think so for sure, because probably the two starts in the middle. So not the first start. Like I think we all were pretty pleased with how the first start went. But the one against Tampa and the one against Seattle, he looked pretty pedestrian. If not, maybe a little worse. He got knocked around a little bit by the Dodgers, but hey, who doesn't? So, and that's the thing. You just have so much higher expectations on him than anybody else. Like, I would actually love if this was Kumar Rocker's stat line thus far, and you're like, you know, great, fine, really good. I'd be like, oh, that's tremendous.
Yeah, but no, you're right.
But for DeGrom, you're like, it's fine.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, I was talking with somebody very close to the Rangers, and I said, the Rangers need to go 2-1 against the A's. Like, that was my...
Need to go...
2-1.
Okay.
And so far they're 1-1. So if they win tonight, that puts them at 2-1. And they said they need to go 3-3 on this road trip. They were expecting 3-3. So that would put winning this series, losing the series against the Giants.
Yep.
And that's fine and everything.
The Giants are one of the best three teams in baseball.
If you win one against the Giants right now, I'm happy with a 3-3 on the road here. I am happy with that.
And this feels like the run tonight and tomorrow with DeGrom and Eovaldi. That you'd be like, okay.
I do wonder if that opinion changed, though, on the 3-3 when Seager's injury popped up. And Kevin had insider information yesterday that he just refused to give to our
not
show.
Not true.
Wanted G-Bag to have that, as we'd have a few days. Weeks. I expected 2 months. You're hearing more like 10 days.
Will I get credit if and when Chicago trades up to 5 for dispersing that information to you?
I feel like I've been given that information for the last month now. So I think that's on me, Kevin, is what I've been shooting for. Yeah. Oh. Appreciate you there, Jerry.
In my face,
Jerry. But based on what we saw last night, one at bat, one hit, is Jock Peterson back, baby? You, Kevin, I've never heard anybody just dig on Jock Peterson like you did yesterday.
Hey, by the way.
Taking shots at his pads and
stuff. That was an overreaction.
That was me.
I said, the Dallas Cowboys will make 3 draft picks before Jock Peterson gets his next hit. And I'm pretty sure I found some consensus on that. But in fact, it was an overreaction and he got it done. And that's one of the things. Just imagine how getting that one hit can change your demeanor the plate.
Dude, it just, we've all had an experience like that where we just can't get a break. And then finally something breaks our way. This week's been a tough week for me. And this morning I woke up and things just started kind of rolling a little bit better. And there was one specific thing that happened that made me feel a little bit better. I hope that's the same with Jock Peterson. And from the 817, Jock will go on a 15-game hitting streak now. Thank you.
I love it.
I'm hoping that can be a thing as well. I definitely am. And I do like this from the 214. How the turntables have turned. Now look who's getting the call after work, Kevin. That is
what
true.
What movie is that from again?
I don't know if I've been calling Kevin after work every time or not, though. Kevin, do you agree with this assessment on Shador Sanders? This coach says that he would draft Shador Sanders at number 3 overall without a question. Okay?
No.
And he said, this is Matt Rhule, by the way.
Okay.
Who I liked Matt Rhule once. Thought he was miserable in Carolina.
Yeah.
Really haven't liked the person at Nebraska.
Yeah.
But he said, I think he's tough. You can quote me on this. You know, whenever they say that, that's important. This is how strong I feel. He took 12 hits against us. 12 hits. There were 7 sacks. He's accurate, smart, sees coverages, can run if he has to. He's gone to 2 places that haven't won, and they won. Now, I know a lot of people have been taking shots at Colorado going, what have they actually won?
I got you.
That's valid. That program was terrible before Dion's group got there. They were miserable.
Agreed.
And Jackson State went undefeated multiple times while Dion was there. So, like, that's another positive. So, that's his thought. But he threw out the toughness factor, took 12 hits, accurate, sees coverages, can run if he has to. All those things right there. He said, to me, he's the guy, this is the fit in the line I like the most. To me, he's the guy who can handle the spotlight in New York. He's the only person raised from childhood to know how to handle the spotlight.
That's fair.
Who are some of the greatest quarterbacks in New York? Broadway Joe, Eli Manning. But that line of, he's been raised since
That's
a child
yeah.
to be prepared for this spotlight.
That all makes sense. I don't think I would go that high just because I wouldn't be able to pass on Hunter and Carter. So it's not necessarily a reflection just against Shador, but I actually have pretty high hopes for Will Campbell. I love Ashton Jeanty. And you talked a lot about your love of Mason Graham. So I don't necessarily mean this to be a dig against Shador, but I don't see it. If the Giants trade back into the first round to make this happen, then that makes a lot more sense to me.
I didn't know this. He did. I knew the stat. 74% of his passes completed, 4,100 yards, 37 touchdowns, the 10 interceptions. Sometimes the dude held the ball too long. Sometimes he made a poor decision on that. But he had a 71.8% completion percentage, which was him leaving college.
Yeah.
The highest in FBS history.
Wow.
That's an impressive number and throws with nice anticipation as well.
And man,
he's a good quarterback.
Just look at this from the 641. He's better than Cam Ward. And then from the 940, too bad pretty much every GM thinks he's a trash quarterback. But what is that based on? Like, is that based on there was a report that Schefter put out that multiple NFL GMs think none of these quarterbacks are first round? Okay, so multiple could mean 2, but let's even up it to 3. All right, 3. And then there's another report. Multiple teams don't think Shador Sanders should be taken in the first round. All right, let's give him another 3 or 4. Even then, that could be, 6, 7 teams out of 32 that don't think he should go in the first round? I do not think that equates to every GM thinks he's a trash quarterback.
Now, one of the biggest knocks on Will Campbell has been what?
Short arm.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Short arms. Will Campbell said, it's something I've heard since I was 14 years old. The school I just went to, they said the same thing about me.
Man.
And Joe Thornton, who has covered the Pats for quite some time now.
Heck of a hockey player, too.
Different dude, but I appreciate it. Thornton here is a who? Is that what you're saying?
No, Joe Thornton.
It is kind of a lot of mock drafts do have Will Campbell going to the Patriots.
Yes.
And Thornton wanted to do a study. He was like, I'm going to go check this out. So here's the metrics he worked with. He said, it's often argued guys with longer arms are better able to keep defenders at bay and that a player with short arms simply can't be successful. This is especially confusing when considering there is no real consensus on what are considered long and short arms. He said, there's no real consensus on this. I quite often see a scouting report where 34-inch arms are called long and 33 1/4 inch are called short. And that same scouting service, they both say that. Look at a ruler, 3/4 inch. Not that long. Not that much of a difference is what he's saying. Nuts. He said, does it seem logical that such a small distance makes such a big difference in holding off defenders?
That is weird that it's not 33 1/4 would be like average or whatever. That is odd.
So he said, with that in mind, I decided to look at Pro Football Focus's data, and there should be a significant drop off between 33 and 34. He said when he did these numbers, he actually said, we actually see a negative correlation where guys with longer arms perform worse in general. After looking from confusing. The 2010 to 2012 drafts. So this isn't more recent. This is years ago. So there's really, essentially, no direct correlation between arm length and performance. Did a couple of different studies there, and again, found out there doesn't seem to be any correlation between arm length and performance. So that's an interesting take, considering from scouts and other people, you always hear that. And I do wonder, it does seem like he said that longer arm guys tended to have more penalties and more problems. I don't know exactly how that works, but that is what this one reporter has found.
You would think that would clear the way for Mr. Campbell at pick number 4. The KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, We will talk with lead NFL draft analyst for Pro Football Focus. It is Trevor Sikkema next right here in The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we bring to you lead NFL draft analyst for a Pro Football Focus. It is Trevor Sikkema. Good afternoon, sir.
Guys, I appreciate you having me on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I know it's a super busy day. Now, I teased this earlier, and you might not think this is spicy at all, but I said you have some spicy running back opinions. What can you share your thoughts about Cam Scataboo and why that is not a spicy opinion at all?
Oh, I was wondering where we were going with this.
There we go.
I have him RB3 in this class. I have him right behind Ashton Jeanty and Omarion Hampton. Well, I shouldn't say right behind those guys, but I do have him as the third running back in this class, and that's because I understand he doesn't have the long speed, but he has the attributes that I want for the running back position, that it is running extremely pissed off every single time that you touch the football. And he's somebody who's going to give you everything he's got in every single carry, every time he's out there. He gives you some third down ability. He can pass protect. He's got soft hands in the receiving game. He's fantastic when it comes to yards after contact. He's great when it comes to missed tackles forced per attempt, whether it's juking a guy out or lowering the shoulder and breaking a tackle that way as well. And I think that for as much as Cam Scataboo and his game is predicated on strength and yards after contact and just contact in general, I don't think he gets enough credit for how smart he is. He is a patient back. He will sit behind offensive lines and wait for blocks to develop, whether it's man and power run blocking concepts or zone blocking rush concepts. So I think he is a versatile back who can give you three down ability and somebody who, I know he's not going to have the 30, 40, 50-yard runs for you, but how often do you get to do that in the NFL anyways? It's just so very seldom. You normally you don't have the opportunity to do that. So instead, give me the guy that's going to turn a zero-yard carry into a three-yard carry, a three-yard carry into a six-yard carry, a six-yard carry into a 10- or 12-yard carry. I want somebody who's going to give me a healthy yards-per-carry average, and I think that Cam Scataboo is the guy who could do that.
I'm interested in the Kenneth Grant and on your mock draft at 22 because, for a long time, I've loved the big body defensive tackle. You know sure. That about me. And I'm just kind of curious with that, would you see him just not going anywhere past Harbaugh? Or would you say that like they're reaching to get him? Because I think he's a fantastic talent.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that they're reaching to get him. I feel like that back end of the first round, really anybody there, I feel like pretty comfortable range for Kenneth Grant. You know, he's a good run defender. I think he gives you a plus as a pass rusher as well. Now, he's not an elite pass rusher, but he is somebody who brings really great size, and I think he's got nimble footwork for a player who is about 340 pounds. Now, sometimes I feel like he plays with a little bit too much finesse, right? When you have those nose tackles that can move a little bit better, a little bit quicker than the average, sometimes they lean into that a little bit too much, and it's like, all right, well, hold on. I still need you to be a nose tackle here, right? I still need you to play really stout on the line of scrimmage, be able to take up multiple blocks. And there are times when I sometimes felt Grant was more interested in doing the pass rush one-on-one type of thing, and it's understandable why. But I do think that Harbaugh knows how to get the best out of him. And it's a big-time fit for them. Not just because of the Harbaugh connection, not just because of obviously the defensive coordinator Jesse Minter being there as well, but because this team lost Puna Ford in free agency. He didn't move too far. He actually just went to the other team that's in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. the Rams, but they really have to replace that presence in the middle and at the nose technique. So that's why it sort of depends who is on the board. You know, I didn't want to sit here and just force Kenneth Grant to the Chargers, but it does fit. It fits in a lot of ways from a need and a personnel perspective.
Yeah, the other defensive tackle from Michigan that, Kevin, I've also been in love with for quite some time now. I see you got him going right in front of the Cowboys to the San Francisco 49ers. That's Mason Graham. For the people who are just like, I don't want another Michigan defensive lineman in DFW, can you explain why he's a better pick than the ones they've gotten in the past?
Yeah, well, I can understand why fans are a little bit disgruntled for that, but you can't just helmet scout, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to be able to look at every player individually, and I think that Mason Graham's a really damn good football player. I've loved what I've seen from him over the last couple of years, even as just a true junior, somebody who was able to stand out as a true sophomore in that 2023 season when they were winning a national championship. And then 2024, it wasn't as good for, I think, just Michigan overall, but certainly as the year went on, Mason Graham only got better. He's a stout run defender. He's somebody that plays with a lot of good leverage. He's got good strength to him, and he gives you some quick twitch in pass rushing as well. Not as good of a pass rush win percentage as I think he has the potential to be at the NFL level. It wouldn't be right away because, you know, being a rookie, it'll take some time to acclimate to the NFL, especially for somebody who he doesn't have super long arms. So it's something that he's just got to work with throughout his NFL career. But he is somebody who, I know that I'm on the radio here in Dallas, and they'd probably like a player like that talent-wise. Man, if they don't jump into up in front of the 49ers, it's really hard for me to think that Robert Saleh, now back as the defensive coordinator with the Niners, they wouldn't select him there. They have a heavy defensive tackle need there as well. So I think he's a really good player. I really do. I think that, to be honest with you, he shouldn't get out of the top 10, but I think there's a lot of other scenarios with offensive linemen and playmakers that we seem to be setting in stone in here, or at least writing in pencil of what could happen tonight. And Mason Graham might be one of those guys that surprisingly has a little bit of a fall.
Now, the good news for a lot of Cowboys fans is that would still lead to Tet McMillan going to the Cowboys. We've talked a lot about Tet McMillan and the combination of him as your X receiver to go along with CeeDee Lamb. What do you think about the player and the fit if Tet were to go to Dallas?
I love him. This is a top five player in the class for me. I have throughout the whole process been somebody who has loved Tetro McMillan. I think the Patriots should consider him at 4. I think the Jaguars should consider him at 5. I think the Raiders should consider him at 6. I think the Jets should consider him at 7. I think the Panthers should consider him at 8, right? I mean, we can just go down the line. I think that he would be that wide receiver one caliber type of player for you in any of those organizations. And then certainly in Dallas, you already know that you have a superstar in CeeDee Lamb who can play as a flanker, as an outside receiver off the line of scrimmage, where you can move him around pre-snap. And then you obviously have somebody who can also win very, very well with two-way goes and option routes from the slot. Now pair him with somebody who allows you to be a dominant X receiver, somebody who can win at the sideline, somebody who can win in the red zone. Those are all areas where Tetro McMillan has really shined over the last couple of seasons, as he's been highly productive, as well as somebody who is graded very well in our PFF system. And so I've been a Tet believer for a long time. I have him very comfortably ranked ahead of Matthew Golden, who I know has also been linked to the Dallas Cowboys. Not that I think that Golden would be a bad pick for them at number 12, but if all of the wide receivers are on the board, I'm easily running the card in for McMillan to pair him in this offense with CeeDee Lamb.
Now, sticking with the wide receiver position, Luther Burden is somebody that it feels like people have pretty diverse opinions about him as a prospect.
I am a Luther Burden believer. I have him 15th overall on my board. He is wide receiver 2 for me in this draft. The 2023 tape was awesome. He was highly productive, really good receiving grades in that 2023 season. 2024, not as great. But no matter what game you turn on for Missouri, the passing attack ain't great. And there are a lot of times where you can watch Luther Burden, and if he is being asked to run a route more than 10 yards down the field, he kind of knows he's not getting the football. And that's not a very fun environment to play in, I'm going to be honest. So, yeah, of course, like, you don't want guys, you know, lollygagging or not caring on tape. And I really don't think that Burden is that anyways. But it's understandable. If you're being asked to run around deep down the field and you know that you're not getting the football because they know that they're not going to pass it down the field, yeah, I'd get kind of sick of that too. I'm not going to lie. So I think that his situation in the NFL is going to be different. This is somebody who is a very highly sought-after recruit, was able to break out very early as an underclassman with Missouri, and somebody that I just feel as though his movement skills are so rare. Is he a super polished route runner yet? No. But how do you watch what Luther Burden can do and how he makes guys miss by stopping and starting on a dime, truly, for yards after catch when he gets the ball in those screen and slant situations? How do you watch that movement skill and not think that there could be a great route runner in there somewhere with that movement ability? I think if you get him with a great wide receiver coach at the NFL level, he is somebody who could be a star in this league.
Yeah, tenacious ball getter is what I like to, the term I like to throw out for him a lot. All right, so Scataboo aside, let's look second, third round for the Cowboys at running back, if that's an option for them. Who fits them best and where they are in the draft, what's the best version that you think you're going to get for running back for the Cowboys?
Well, certainly the Ohio State guys, the two that come to mind, right? Trayvon Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. If you have an opportunity to draft one of those guys, I think the NFL is going to do it. Now, you probably got to draft them in the second round to make that possible because it feels like this league is really high on those guys. Those guys are sort of the obvious. I throw in Caleb Johnson from Iowa, although I am a little bit lower on him than it feels like others are out there.
Okay.
I think behind a zone blocking scheme, predominantly zone blocking scheme, he could be a very effective player. I think some of the best of him reminds you of like a Todd Gurley or a Dalvin Cook, right? Like those guys who behind zone blocking scheme run concepts, man, they were excellent. They were able to put up fantastic numbers. And so I think that Caleb Johnson could be that type of a player because he is that blend of size, speed, and explosiveness. You've just got to put him in those situations where he can really read the offensive line in ways that he is comfortable. I like Dylan Sampson from Tennessee as well. And then if we're going a little bit deeper, two guys that I like in this class, one is R.J. Harvey from UCF. I was a big Bucky Irving guy before last year's draft, and he feels like my Bucky Irving type of pick this year. And the reason why is because we've got two metrics at PFF that we love to use that try to individualize running backs and their production independent of the offensive line, right? Because that's always the question. Do you have a good run game because of your offensive line, or is it because of your running back? How do we really categorize how much of a percentage the back is specifically versus the offensive line in front of you? Everybody would tell you offensive line is most important, and I would agree. But we do have two metrics, missed tackles forced per attempt and yards after contact, that no matter where you are, whether you get hit or whether you are making a guy miss behind the line of scrimmage, at the line of scrimmage, or beyond the line of scrimmage, depending on how your offensive line does, you want healthy high percentiles in both of those categories because it means that you are getting yards above expectation, whatever the expectation is. R.J. Harvey is somebody that is above the 80th percentile in both of those numbers and has been for a two-year sample size. So he's somebody that I like a lot. And then I'll also shout out Devin Neal from Kansas. I don't know if he's athletic enough to be the difference-making running back that he needs to be in the NFL, but man, he's so fun. He sees the field so well. He's such a great pass protector. He's got great hands. He does everything else well. And if you put him behind an offensive...
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Line that gives you some space, I think he could be a productive guy.
I know it's not necessarily reflected on in your mock draft at PFF.com, but could you see one or perhaps even more teams maneuver back in the first round to snag a quarterback tonight?
I could, especially because there's, you know, a couple of teams. Minnesota is one of them. I think Minnesota is one of them at 24, and then I think the Rams at 26. Both of those teams, I think, really want to move back. they would really like picks. Both of those teams do not have second round selections. So I think that they would like to move back a little bit, get into that second round and not pick up an additional second round pick. You're probably not going to get that for moving just back into the second round from where you're currently at in the first. But you could pick up another pick, you know, third, fourth round, and just more darts to throw at the dartboard, if you will. So depending on what how the quarterbacks run, I don't think Shador is going in the top 20. I think that if he's still on the board at 21, he'll go to the Steelers. But after that, it's a little bit of a wild card. You have those teams that are going to be much more willing to move back, and there might be a couple of teams that are lurking around the top of the second round, whether it's Cleveland, whether it's the New York Giants, whether it's the New Orleans Saints, that could be looking to move up later tonight.
And then the last thing I was curious about for you, do you think the Bears are going to trade up to pick number 5 and draft Ashton Jeantie?
I don't. I really don't. And it's just because, you know, taking a running back in the top 10 is one thing. Trading up for a running back in the top 10 is just, I mean, it is just so often, it just does not often work out for you. Now, again, if you believe that Ashton Jeantie is the next Alvin Kamara, the next LaDainian Tomlinson, like, okay, obviously you want a player like that on your football team. But if you're trading up from 10 to 5, it's probably going to cost you one of those two second-round picks they have, 39 or 41. That's a ton of draft pick value for the running back position. And now Chicago makes it interesting because of any team,
yeah,
I think that they would be the team to do it, right? Because the rest of the roster is set up for it to be okay. But it is such a no-no for how you go about draft practice. I just don't know if Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson would sign off on doing something like that. And so I would say right now, I don't think it happens. I think Jeantie goes to the Jags at 5, and they stay put.
Man, I know it's a busy day. Absolutely excellent stuff. We appreciate your time very much, good sir.
Appreciate it, guys. Anytime.
There you go.
Crushed it, man. He's awesome.
Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focus. I knew.
Nice work, Alec.
That I was going to like him when in the first question, he was like, you want a running back that's going to run pissed off all of the time. And I was like,
that's
yes.
That's what I want. I want that
this
guy.
Is the guest that we need. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we've got more predictions from the local yokels about who the Cowboys are going to pick at number 12. We'll dive into that next right here on The Fan.
JMU blitzing. Hampton gets through to the second level and into the third level. Stays on his feet in the end zone for a touchdown. A 15-yard score.
That will be a name to keep an eye on. Amarion Hampton. By the way, from the 469, I find it extremely disturbing that Shador Sanders isn't a first-round pick, but Daniel Jones, Christian Ponder, Will Levis. I get that. I definitely think Shador Sanders will go in the first round tonight. It's just lower maybe to Pittsburgh. And now that some people anticipated. But right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it's time to take you to Pluckers in Plano for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how we doing today?
Terrific, Hagee. Happy draft day.
Indeed, indeed. I heard potentially it's been a hectic day. I know it's going to be crazy at the Pluckers. Who do you think, or how do you think it's going to shake out tonight? Who are the Cowboys going to take?
Well, if I had to bet, I would say that that's going to be Tet McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona. So many of the mock drafts that are coming out in the last 48 hours have the Cowboys taken him. And I think if he's not there, that's where the real fun and intrigue is going to start, and we'll probably see some of the best ratings that we've ever seen in 105 through the Fan in the 10 minutes building up to that pick.
I agree with that. Would you love it if there were no other trades in the first round except for the Cowboys pick and we really just kept speeding this thing along?
That would be nice. Yeah, I would not mind that at all. You know, looking to get out of here before midnight tonight. I'll be at Pluckers in Addison. But yeah, I think that'd be nice. I wouldn't mind if the Cowboys do trade down. I see Denver Broncos still, you know, looking for a partner here to move up and get a running back or a wide receiver. So that could be as fun as well. Like if at the end of tonight you get a player in the 20s and you pick up another pick for tomorrow night, that would be awesome.
Can we institute, or do you think we should institute, a rule in the draft that if you make a trade, you inherit that team's time left? Like, we're not rebooting the clock or anything like that. Like, hey, they have 57 seconds. You have 57 seconds to figure it out.
I'm with you. I do think there's also teams that know exactly who they're picking, and they just wait.
Dude,
they have the pick,
it.
And they just we're going to take the whole time. We're going to let everybody get their advertising, and maybe we'll hold off just in case the phone rings, and then they'll wait to the last second just to submit the pick, which I do think is it's just rude for everybody that is watching at home.
You know, Zach, I heard you the other morning with Sean and Bobby, and you've been doing this for a few years now, and you've gotten very good at it. You claimed now you're better than Broadus at it, and I was very impressed with that.
I don't know that I'm claiming that.
You said it. I'm just
not publicly.
Yeah, exactly. What the but when you guys are watching, how much do you weigh the good versus the bad? Jerry always brings up the line of, if I've seen him do it once, I know he can do it again. But sometimes if you see him do a bad thing once, then you got to go, which one's the average? Which one am I going to get more often out of a guy like that?
Yeah, I think that's really kind of what separates like a first-round player and, say, a third-round player or a day three player. It's the consistency. The guys that can go out there and do it, and they're able to do it on a consistent basis versus like, oh, I can just see it. You know, we're going to flash throughout the game. You're probably going to have those players rated higher on your stack. I mean, that's probably my biggest question mark when it comes to Walter Nolan, the defensive tackle out of Ole Miss. So I absolutely do think if Tet McMillan is off the board, is in play for the Cowboys there at number 12. The frustration is you see the talent, and there are moments where he absolutely takes over and wrecks a game, and then there's moments where he just disappears. So, you know, players like that concern me. Because then it goes back to the conversation Brian Schottenheimer was having about, do you love football and the desire, the want to? You know, if you get taken out of a game like that, I just wonder, does your motor run hot and cold? But team players and scouts, they fall in love with just seeing those flashes, that potential, those traits. And they think, hey, if we get him in our building, we'll be able to get him to be consistent.
I think it's one of the biggest problems with the Cowboys drafting is that that idea has, you know, apparently taken root because it's stupid. You know, I can make a three, Hagee. Okay, I can make a three-point shot.
Maybe just not on a consistent basis, but the
might
Mavs
make two
would
in a row.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess if Jerry was watching me and picking for a basketball team, he would consider me a floor spacer, you know, if I could make two for him. So that's crazy. The fact that they're taking dudes that don't love football is crazy. You know, it's no coincidence they have lost you know, their view of the top of the division.
What do you guys think is more likely for tonight? The Bears trade up to pick 5? Or Shador slides down to the Steelers at 21?
I'm buying the Shador slide. It just seems like there's so many different, you know, ways that a team could decide to be out on him. And after you get past the quarterback needy teams in the top 10, I just think you're looking at big pockets of teams before you circle back to another one. And then, you know, does that team that needs a quarterback later on, do they have a reason to not want Shador? So, you know, this is one of those classic slipping situations. And I think one team's going to, you know, get an opportunity to get one heck of a talent later on in the first round. If I'm the Cowboys, I'm very seriously thinking about this at 12.
Mm. Wolchuk, how do you think it's going to shake out?
I think that I agree. The Shador slide sounds very likely. I don't know. I mean, Adibi Kikabwala is a great reporter. I don't know about what New Orleans is going to do at 9. They might be a wild card. Maybe they do take Jackson Dart. The Giants might have Jackson Dart over Shador as well. It might be Cam Ward, Dart, and Shador. So I think the Shador slide's going to happen. But, man, the Bears, they both could. I mean, hey, I think you're on with this Bears trade-up. I think they're absolutely trying to do it. I think Jacksonville's just got away. Hey, do we actually want to move down, or would we rather just stay there and pick the player? But Ben Johnson's coming from a place in Detroit where the last few years they have been one of the most aggressive teams when it comes to trading up to go and get their guy. Heck, they did it last year, moving up to the Cowboys pick and drafting Terrion Arnold, the corner from Alabama. And that would be in play for Ben Johnson. If he wants Ashton Jeanty, go up and get your dude.
Sounds to me like Kevin's really trying to vie for a play tonight on Underdog. That's what it sounds like to me.
No,
you're trying to get some advice
here.
These
are regular questions.
Never goes well for me, Higgy.
Yeah. I
let the show determine my Super Bowl bet after filling the Eagles all week long.
Oh, that is
good times, though.
That is tough.
The Pluckers are going to be rocking tonight. I'm so excited for you guys to be able to do your show out there in Plano.
Dude, you should stop by on your way home.
I should. I'm going to go get my Lyft on and then maybe get my daughter and come swing by and see y'all.
That'd be fun.
Hell yeah.
I probably should get my daughter. Like, that's,
no, you
should. Probably definitely get her.
I just don't think you should ever say the phrase, get your Lyft on.
Get my Lyft
again.
On? Hey, man, that Liberty Rec Center really does a good job.
Okay. What do you find fellas got coming up on the program today? And can you remind everybody where you're at?
Yes, sir. We are live here at Pluckers in Plano off of Preston and Park here. And we'll be here for the next 4 hours. And the draft coverage is going to kick off with Broadus and Wolchuk and everybody starting at 6 o'clock. Would love to see you come by. Join us at one of the Pluckers locations. We'll have everything in the world of sports that matters here right out of the gates, including the latest Shannon Sharp news. Pure gold as always. Thanks for asking, Hagee. And I hope you boys enjoy round one as much as we do.
Heck yeah. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation or see them at the Pluckers in Plano. You can catch Corey at the Pluckers in Allen. Catch Alec at the Pluckers in Fort Worth, the City View location. And I will be at the Dallas location. Hope you guys come and see us. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
So go get Cowboys, Kevin.
Go Stars.